mood. Let's get in the mood for Sverio, the final show that Troubadour segues into with Sverio, because they are getting a new time slot. Do some Sol y Canto, local Latin band, and they are having their anniversary celebration, the 13th anniversary celebration tomorrow night at the Regatta Bar, their anniversary concert. We're going to close out with them doing Tierra, Sol y Agua, which translates as Earth, Sun, and Water, on the Troubadour Show.
Tierra, sol y agua son los requisitos para que el capullo en flor reviente. Si la savia corre hacia el sol, la raíz hacia el agua, alma inquieta debe correr. Pero la razón no sabe a dónde, en mi firmamento. Falta una estrella cuando una semilla languidece, como un sueño que no se realiza, como un niño que no juega, alma inquieta quiere volar, pero a la razón le falta fe.
Local group Sol y Canto doing Tierra, Sol y Agua, Sun Earth, Sun, and Water, and they are doing their 13th anniversary concert at the Regatta Bar tomorrow night. This has been This is Troubadour, WMBR Cambridge. Now it's time for Sverio.
Welcome, everyone. This Thursday afternoon, you're listening to Sverio, the local voice of our hemisphere here on WMBR Cambridge. I'm Kendra Johnson. We'll be hosting the show today, along with my co-host, Amy Battistiache, who will be joining us very shortly, as soon as she can make her way over here. But today, I have with me on the phone a very exciting guest and someone who has been with us here in WMBR many, many a time before, but it's been a bit of time since he's joined us actually on the air. And that guest is Luis Meléndez. Hello, Luis.
Muy buenas tardes, Kendra.
Muy buenas tardes.
With you and with all our audience.
Absolutely. So before we get started in this interview, I'd like to tell those who are listening and who haven't been listening to us for 2 years that we've been on the air. Luis Meléndez is one of the three, I suppose. There were many more involved, but there were really three of us, principally of four, who started Sverio 2 years ago as part of the MIT Western Hemisphere Project. And Luis, as I understood it, had been involved with the Western Hemisphere Project for other events in the past and had the idea of starting a program related to public affairs in this hemisphere, Latin America and Canada, local issues in Canada, and came to the Western Hemisphere Project with that proposal. And I was also a young, bright-eyed freshman that year and came to that meeting as well and said, well, I'll try it out. So, and here I am 2 years later. So,
and that's wonderful. You know, I remember when we first started how interested we were in including people from different parts of the community and also from MIT, and how little by little that project has grown into such a beautiful weekly radio program that covers every topic of interest in Boston. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Kendra and Troy, Amy Battistiache,
Marion Dumas.
And all the new ones, of course.
Of course, yeah. And it's amazing. That's sort of been the key piece of this experience for me, is how I've gotten to, both with a guest that I've been interviewing, but also with the sort of rotating group of co-hosts, met some amazing, amazing people, and it's gotten me out of my little shell that I'm in at MIT as a student and interacting pretty much only with students and professors. But now I get to step outside and interact with people of all sorts from all different places involved in all sorts of amazing things. And the thing that I think we have many, as you said, we speak about all sorts of issues, everything that's important in this hemisphere. But I think one of the cross-cutting themes that we like to focus on is community organizing and people coming together to make a difference and be the change that they see needs to happen in their part of the world, in the world at large. And that's what we're hoping to speak with you about, Luis, and your new project in Vieques, Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. Well, first, I have to tell you that I've had the most amazing luck. I feel so wonderfully fortunate to be in Vieques. Many of our listeners know that Vieques is a community that was affected by 60 years of the terrible occupation of the U.S. Navy. This lovely tropical paradise was used as a firing range by the Navy for all those years. They tried out all sorts of new weapons, and they used all sorts of chemicals. And it was really a community that was subjected to immense violence from the military. But throughout that history, there was a very strong opposition and resistance to that injustice. And in 1999, I believe, I'm also learning a lot about the history of Vieques, but in 1999, there was a very unfortunate event, the death of a guardsman who was working for the Navy, and that was the final event, the drop that, how do you say, the straw that broke the camel's back,
mm-hmm.
In the sense that all that injustice was no longer tolerable, and the death of Victor Sanis generated a huge response of the Puerto Rican people, who then found a strong support from international, from the international peace movement, from people in Puerto Rico as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge process of civil disobedience to get the Navy to finally leave Puerto Rico, you know, to leave Vieques.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after the success of that, or, you know, people felt an enormous sense of victory.
Mm-hmm.
And I have come to Vieques to work with the folks that organized all of that. So for me, it's a sense of great satisfaction to be working with El Comité Pro Rescate y Desarrollo de Vieques, the Committee for the Rescue and Development of Vieques.
Luis, can you tell us more about that victory? I think that's something extremely remarkable, that this tiny island, with the help of international solidarity and peace movements around the world, was actually able to cause the U.S. Navy to stop testing their bombs on this island.
You know, Kendra, that's one of the things that surprises me, that inspires me every day that I'm here. I live most of the week, or, you know, since I got back to Puerto Rico, I've been residing in San Juan, which is a very modern city with all the charm and the ailments of modern urban environments in Latin America. You know, a lot of traffic and you know, all sorts of things that make it a little bit unpleasant, even though it's a beautiful city. But when I come to Vieques, I'm immediately in another environment. You know, it's immensely beautiful, and it's not as developed, quote unquote. You know, some of those modern signs of development, like, you know, huge highways and malls and lots of cars and all of that. We don't have that in Vieques, which is a wonderful thing for me. And then the population here is less than 10,000. So when you look at this community, what you see is a community that has beautiful resources, beautiful natural resources, but a relatively poor community that doesn't have huge numbers. And you wonder, how can this community, how were they able to get the most powerful army in the history of humanity to stop their bombing? And at a time, a lot of people thought that it couldn't be done.
Right.
But in fact, thanks to, you know, a very skilled organizing effort on the part of the community here, under the leadership of the Committee for the Rescue and Development of Vieques, folks were able to organize and to show the will of the population and to articulate the sense of indignation facing, you know, the injustice that was inflicted on the Vieques community by the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when the death of Sanis occurred, immediately there was a huge show of support from the population in Puerto Rico, from all sorts of environmental, ecumenical organizations, community organizations of every kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this phenomenal movement of people to Vieques to physically confront the Navy, you know, to show forth in a peaceful way, but, you know, to stand in front of the gates. Actually, if I open the window right now and look out, we are exactly in front of the gates to what used to be the eastern part of, you know, the island where the bombing was taking place, at the very end of, not near here, but at the very tip, eastern tip of Vieques. That's where the bombing range was, and there's an entrance to that area right in front of our camp.
Wow, that must
and
be a reminder.
There were hundreds and hundreds of people who came every week for for a couple of years to show their solidarity and to obstruct the practices. People would go into this bombing range and serve as human shields. Of course, when you speak to folks here, you know, young people who were active at the time, you see that there was also great excitement to participate in that process.
Wow. And that must be an amazing reminder to have that gate right outside of your office where you're working.
Right next to the gate, there's a collection of crosses. You know, I mentioned that the medical movement was very important in achieving peace for Vieques, or at least the cessation of the bombing, because Puerto Rico is a community, it's a country where religion is a very important part of our public life, and there are many, many different denominations. And both the Catholic Church and other Christian groups, they all came together in a wonderful collaboration that doesn't always happen. It did happen with Vieques.
Mm-hmm.
That's another interesting aspect of this struggle, that people were able to set aside differences, political, religious, you know, age, or any kind of difference that were differences that were keeping us apart. We were able, as a country, to leave them aside and devote ourselves to the project of making the Navy stop its bombing, which had gone on for too long. And we had the crosses, which is of course a symbol for Christianity, but they also symbolize the dead, the many, many dead that we have here in Vieques. People who have died of cancer. There's an immense rate of cancer here in Vieques due to the toxins that were used in all of those, you know, all those chemicals have been used in the military testing. For there's depleted uranium here.
Right.
There's all sorts of chemicals that were tried in other missiles and weapons. We're not even aware of what's up there because the Navy hasn't told us what's in the soil. There's definitely the presence of heavy metals and other toxins that have been affecting the Vieques population. So those crosses remind us of the hundreds of people who are victims of that injustice.
Yes. Luis, I'm going to interrupt you for a moment to welcome Amy Batistiache, who has just arrived in our studio and is joining us.
Hola, Luis.
Hi.
Hello. Long time no hear from.
Claro, Amy, qué gusto hablar contigo por teléfono y a través de stereo.
¿Verdad que sí? Qué rico.
Claro que sí.
Qué bueno.
Amy, a lo mejor podemos aprovechar este momento para saludar cariñosamente a todos los miembros de nuestra audiencia que hablan español.
Pues sí.
Que se encuentran en sintonía de stereo, ya sea en la WMDR de Cambridge, Massachusetts, o a través de la línea de la red electrónica en cualquier parte del mundo donde nos estén escuchando.
Sí, de hecho, de eso es algo que vamos a tener que hablar, porque estamos cambiando la manera que guardamos. Perdón.
Estamos cambiando
la manera que guardamos los archivos, ¿no? De Sperio. Así que luego vamos a estrenar una nueva dirección electrónica.
Exactamente. Pero todavía pueden escucharnos a través del sitio de web de WMBR.
Sí.
WMBR.org.
Eso mismo.
And I believe we probably have some listeners who are listening to us right now from that website.
Yeah,
so
from WMBR.org.
Do give it a try. So this is Sperio, the local voice of your hemisphere, and we are speaking with Luis Meléndez, who's a former Sperio host and is now in the island of Vieques, Puerto Rico. And he's been telling us the story of Vieques and how they were able to actually close down the bomb testing that was happening by the U.S. military in Vieques. And Luis, we just were sort of opening into the theme of what struggles remain now that there's no new testing going on, but I imagine that those toxic chemicals are still around.
Yes. Well, you know, it's we have to say that there's this huge, immense, phenomenal victory on the part of the Puerto Rican people and the people of Vieques and all the solidarity that we received from people from all over the world. And by the way, there are many, many other communities that are confronted with situations very similar to ours, where they either have the U.S. military bases that are, you know, inflicting all sorts of problems in those communities, whether it's in the United States or elsewhere in the world, or communities that are confronted with the toxic legacy of the U.S. military, and they're trying to do whatever they can to clean up, you know, that terrible environmental disaster.
Right, whether that is in the United States or in the rest of the world.
Or elsewhere. Yeah. You know, we have a poster here that says, you know, no to U.S. military bases and no to the empire. And you look in the map of the world, and they're everywhere, those bases. So we do have a wonderful victory. It's a history of David against Goliath. But the struggle continues because the contamination is still here. We have asked the government to put pressure on the Navy and on federal agencies to clean up this mess. You know, we've asked the EPA that is supposed to operate this as a Superfund, but they're taking a lot of time and they're not responding to the real needs of the community. And actually, one of the terrible things that's happening is that now that the spotlight is no longer on the peace movement here in Vieques, they're not allowing the community to voice its opinion, to participate actively in the decision-making of, you know, how are things going to be cleaned up, how is the land going to be returned to the people, you know, what's going to happen, and so forth. And an example of this, a terrible example, is that they have hired a company to start the cleanup, and what this company is doing is gathering unexploded
ordnance
and blowing it up in the open air. So even though we asked the Navy, we were able to stop the Navy from bombing us, the Navy is still blowing up bombs on Vieques soil. And this is sending particulate matter up in the air, and it's still affecting, you know, all of those chemicals are still going into the food cycle. And, you know, it's still a serious problem for the health of this community.
And
that's just one of the problems. You know, there are many other ways in which the Vieques population is affected. For instance, now that the Navy is no longer bombing, Vieques has become the tropical paradise that it has always been, but without the inconvenience of those military maneuvers that were, you know, worrying people for part of the year before. So Vieques has become a prized tourist destination because it's unspoiled, you know, it's absolutely gorgeous. And another problem that is coming up is the displacement of the Vieques population because of real estate speculation. So many people say what the Navy was not able to accomplish in 60 years of bombing, which was to get rid of the Vieques population, capitalism is accomplishing because of the, you know, rising cost of land. And if you look at a community that has limited resources, where there has been poverty inflicted by that relationship with the Navy, by lack of resources and lack of those opportunities in the past, you see that the conditions are such that people are going to want to sell their land.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have, you know, a lot of people selling their land, then, you know, then you have another group that is taking over and,
mm-hmm.
you know, dominating the economic life of this community.
Right, and not only
and
that.
That's a very, very serious problem because it's a threat to the subsistence of the Viequenses as a people.
Exactly, because when people who are just, you know, my age, coming of age now and want to start their own families on Vieques, if the land is out of their budget range, there's no way
entirely
that they can take control.
Out of their reach. And that makes them migrate to Puerto Rico, the mainland Puerto Rico, or to the United States, or even, and this is a surprising element for me coming to Vieques, there's also migration from Vieques and Culebra, the two islands off the east coast. Migration from our islands to the Virgin Islands,
wow.
to either St. Thomas or St. Croix.
Hmm.
So there's an interesting element there, and I point this out, Amy, to you, who I know you love Caribbean music. You know, there's some interesting cultural exchanges happening.
I was just thinking
in
that.
This part of the world as well.
Well, Luis, if there's any community in the world who could potentially come up with a way to solve these sorts of issues, I would say that the people of Vieques could be the ones.
I think so, too.
So, Luis, let me ask you, how does radio fit into this agenda to give the people of Vieques more autonomy to decide their own future?
Well, there are two things that are happening, really interesting. One of them is that the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, which rules, of course, the airwaves here in Puerto Rico because of our colonial relationship with the United States, the FCC has opened a window for community organizations to apply for non-commercial, educational, full-power radio licenses.
Mm.
And this is an entirely exceptional occurrence because it seldom happens. And besides, all the radio frequencies in Puerto Rico have already been assigned.
Mm-hmm.
So there are only two frequencies available in all of the Puerto Rican territory, and they are out here in the eastern part. They correspond to Vieques and Culebra. So historically, you know, we're in front of a situation where, you know, we have this wonderful opportunity to apply for a radio license, which is not going to come up again. And knowing the marvelous impact of community radio in other parts of the world, including the United States, you know, with community radio stations all over, you know, we thought that it was an opportunity that we couldn't let pass. And the truth is that aside from this, you know, wonderful opportunity, we also have a great need for a forum for the discussion of all these topics and everything else, you know, all the things that are of interest to the Viequense population. Some years ago, there was a local television channel that had an immense following because the people here in Vieques all know each other. They're all, you know, there are several families that are interrelated, interconnected. Everybody has some relation with everybody else. And a local media production was the place where everybody turned to for information and for keeping abreast of what was going on in the community. That television station closed down. And since then, there hasn't been a local news outlet, no local news and media production of any kind. So people are thirsty for that type of service again.
And when did that close down, Luis?
You know, when we started investigating this possibility, the response was immediate and very, very positive. But there's also, you know, the aspect that an educational radio station serves so many different purposes, not just, you know, keeping people informed or educating, But it also provides the space for creative work to happen in the hands of senior citizens, youth, women, you know, people who come up with all sorts of ideas of things to talk about on the air or types of programming to produce or, you know, styles of music to explore. You know, we've talked to collectionists of Puerto Rican music who have records from, you know, from the 30s and 40s and 50s, and they want to play that music. And we've talked to youth who want to do youth radio. And there's another fascinating aspect of the Viequense economy, which is the presence of co-ops, cooperativas, we call them. It's a different way of structuring businesses that is very popular here in Puerto Rico, and we have several of those co-ops in Vieques, working with hydroponics and tourism and theater, and you know, there are other ones as well. So this radio station that we want to set up is going to be the forum for the discussion of all these aspects of the life of Vieques. Mm. And one more element before, you know, actually I'm talking so much, I have so much to tell our audience about Vieques, but another aspect is that Vieques is an island, and islands, and I'm sure that, you know, people in Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket are aware of this peculiar aspect of life in an island. You know, there are all sorts of things that have to be broadcast. You know, you need to know what the weather conditions are. You need to know about the waves. You need to find out if there's going to be a storm. In case of an emergency, there has to be a place where you turn to for, you know, the immediate information. Islands are connected to the mainland by ferry. The whole issue of transportation is vital for the economy and the life, the well-being of the community. People have to go from Vieques to the hospital by ferry or by plane. So, you know, there are a lot of practical aspects of what's going on in Vieques that have to be presented to the audience, but there's nowhere to do that. And we're thinking that a radio station will fill that void.
Luis, can I ask you, what period of time has transpired since that local TV station was operating, and what has Vieques done in the interim to take, you know, to sort of fill that gap?
Well, that program ceased to exist about 10 years ago. Ooh. And then there was a radio program off of a neighboring island of Culebra. And that was operating for some time, but it also disappeared about 2 years ago. But in the meantime, the Committee for the Rescue and Development of Vieques established a weekly one-hour radio production that is growing into a two-hour production starting on the 20th of October. And this program, called Radio Vieques, has served as the voice for this community. And, you know, we have young people that have been participating off and on in the radio project. We have women. We have everybody from the Vieques Society has come to the microphones of Radio Vieques. Mm-hmm. And that's the project that we want to continue nurturing until eventually we have the radio station. So Radio Vieques continues. And, mm-hmm. you know, Amy and Kendra and maybe our listeners know that the FCC takes a long time to make its decisions and to allot yes. those radio frequencies. So we don't know if we will ever get the license. We hope we will. And we don't know when, if we do, when that will be. But in the meantime, there will be a Radio Vieques to keep the community informed. And one of the things that I feel fortunate to have facilitated is also an enlargement of the collaborators to this project. And starting on the 20th, there will be, as partners in Radio Vieques, we will have the island of Culebra through a community organization called Unidad Comunitaria por Culebra. Mm-hmm. We will have the community of Ceiba, where the infamous Navy base Rusto Rhodes was located. You see, Culebra, Ceiba, and Vieques were all part of this Caribbean outpost of the U.S. Navy, and we all suffer the same problems. We have the same legacy.
Mm-hmm.
We have very similar conditions and situations. So it's natural that we have a common voice and that we work together for trying to figure out how to grow after the U.S. Navy left.
Yeah.
And another collaborator that has joined our project is Taller C, a group of singers and songwriters from Puerto Rico. Actually, it's not just a group. It's a cooperativa, as I mentioned before, one of those co-ops.
¿Cómo es que se llama? ¿Taller C?
Taller C, and it means Taller de Cantautores.
Uh-huh.
It's a co-op of singers and songwriters. They're recording, they're presenting their music, they do jingles for advertising agencies, and it's phenomenal. You know, the co-op movement here in Puerto Rico offers a really good alternative to, the traditional finances of banks, and it's a different type of capitalism, but it's collectively run and it has some very direct benefits for the participants who are all owners of the business.
Mm-hmm. I bet
and
we could have you.
We want to do that with Saldivitas as well. What was that?
I was going to say that I bet we could have you on Sferio, Luis, and just talk about cooperativas and, just what that is as an alternative structure. You know, we could do a fabulous comparison of cooperativas viequenses as opposed to, on the mainland over here and so on.
You know, Amy, maybe, and I hope we have the opportunity, and maybe either Nilda Medina, who is our expert, one of the board members here at El Comité Pro Rescate y Desarrollo de Vieques, or Roberto Jardín. They will be traveling to Boston, and I'm sure that they could tell you more about the co-ops. But maybe to conclude, I'd like to leave this message with our listeners and with you all, because one of the things that has, que más, Amy Kendra, que más me emociona, I don't know how to translate that, maybe something that touches my heart the most of what I'm seeing here is a community that has been immensely resourceful, that has had a huge spiritual strength, and who has stood up to for its rights in front of the devastating U.S. military power, and we have been able to accomplish so much. And we have such a wonderful natural environment. And this community that is a poor community has the resources to do wonderful things and has done immense things, like, get the Navy to stop. But it needs the support of the Puerto Rican government and the municipal government. And the sad thing is that both, the municipal and the larger national government, they're not paying attention to what has already been articulated by intellectuals and, by the community. There is already, we have guidelines for sustainable development here in Vieques, and they have come up with wonderful projects such as, ecotourism and tourism from your home and small-scale industries and all sorts of wonderful projects that could be implemented and could be successful if they were supported by the government. But unfortunately, the government is not supporting these small-scale projects. They are providing support instead to large, multinational interests, North American interests, that receive all the money, all the conditions that are necessary to establish business are given to them and not to the Puerto Rican Vicensic population. So I guess in my to say goodbye to our listeners, I would say that we have a lot to do. You know, the struggle for peace and justice has not ended. We have to continue supporting the Vieques community in its desire for sustainable development, for the cleanup of this beautiful land, and for an economic growth that is in the hands of this community. Because otherwise, the Vieques population is going to disappear, and this may turn into, you know, one of the other Virgin Islands, a place where rich foreigners come for, you know, a couple of weeks a year, and they have mm-hmm. their homes all locked up, and it's basically deserted, and no space for the people who originally lived here.
Mm. Well, Luis, before we let you go, I'm wondering if you have any recommendations for listeners who'd like to learn more about this issue, or if there's a way that we here can listen to this Radio Vieques program that is produced weekly.
Yes. I invite anybody who's interested in hearing more about Vieques to contact us at Comité Pro Rescate y Desarrollo de Vieques. And I will send you the links to our website and to, you know, our radio program and such, to Sferio. So maybe folks can go to Sferio and the information will be there. But people can also call us at 787-741-0716. Once again, that's the number for the Campamento Justicia y Paz, the Camp of Justice and Peace, right in front of the gate to the Navy bombing range here in Vieques.
Wow.
Campamento Justicia y Paz, and the telephone number here is 787-741-0716.
Y el nombre otra vez, Luis, Comité Pro Rescate y Desarrollo de Vieques, ¿no?
La organización se llama Comité Pro Rescate y Desarrollo de Vieques. Estamos aquí justo al frente del área de tiro de la Marina de Guerra norteamericana, siempre alertas. It's wonderful. It's so symbolic to be right here in front of those gates, because we're keeping watch.
Yes.
Y el teléfono nuestro, de nuevo, para todos nuestros amigos, sobre todo los puertorriqueños, pero latinos, quien sea, el teléfono es el 787-741-0716. And, you know, this is a special appeal to our friends from MIT, from Harvard, from all those universities, all those young people, all those listeners of ours, and in eastern Massachusetts, there is so much to do, and so much your support can be so important, especially as we try to find innovative ways to clean up this horrible mess that has been left behind by the Navy, or as we try to develop tourism that is adequate to this society, that supports the Vicense population rather than large interests. So I guess I'm sending out an invitation for all of you to come to Vieques and see how beautiful this place is, and give us a hand in this process of building an equitable society.
Well, Luis,
pues eso,
exactamente, es lo que todos queremos, ¿no?
Exactamente, yeah.
Aquí en Sverio también.
Yes, and I'd like to thank you, Kendra and Amy, and everybody else. Marion Dumas, in case she's listening to us in France, she was also one of the founding members of Sferio. And Hannah and everybody else, thank you very much for allowing such a, you know, generous space for me to participate and to tell our listeners about Vieques. Thank you very much.
Luis, I think you have so much to share with everybody. And the thing that shines right on through is this just huge amount of excitement and enthusiasm about the, you know, rebuilding or the continual building of a popular movement in Vieques. And I think that's, you know, even for those of us who may not be able to be there and join you, it can't help but be inspiring.
Thank you. You know, Amy and to all our friends, all my friends that are listening, and you know, family members and all, I take this opportunity to let you know that I am full of joy right now. You know, I am full of joy being in Vieques, in Puerto Rico, and working in this community. It's an immense satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging.
Mm.
Believe me. There are many reasons why it's challenging,
mm-hmm.
but it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for allowing me to share some of that excitement with the rest of our audience.
And we thank you for sharing it with us, because I think a little bit of that has passed over through the radio waves and the phone waves. And it's also been a very fitting way to celebrate 2 years of Thursday radio here on Stereo.
Right.
We will tell you all a bit about later. We're moving times off to one day forward to Friday. So we will not be.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. So thank you very much, Luis, and good luck to you and your endeavors. And I hope we will maintain this collaboration between Sverio and Radio Vieques.
Yes, I mean, we're waiting for you here in Vieques.
Ay, qué bello.
Bien, adiós.
Bueno, adiós, Luis.
Luis Alfonso Meléndez, desde el Campamento Justicia y Paz en Vieques, Puerto Rico.
Ay, qué bueno. Ay.
Oh, that was just, wow. You know, goosebumps are a hard thing to share over the radio, but I have goosebumps now.
Indeed. So, for all of our listeners out there, indeed, we are celebrating 2 full years of Sverio Radio at 4 p.m. on Thursdays, and we're saying goodbye to that because starting next week, we move into the month of October, which is frightening.
And that means that MBR officially moves into its fall programming season.
Indeed. So we will be moving on off to Friday at 6 p.m., Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Next week, you'll be able to hear your favorite Sverio hosts. And that'll be right after the WMBR Nightly News. So it'll be good timing.
Now, at the moment, we introduce the nightly news, and as of next week, we will follow it up.
And we can do the nightly news commentary.
That's right.
Qué bueno.
Excellent. Pues mira, Kendra, I believe you have Puerto Rican music over there lined up, I think.
I did. I was without my resident ethnomusicologist. Trying to pull up music for this show, but I have our trusty Rough Guide CDs, which practically never fail us.
It's true.
And so I have pulled out it's Puerto Rican salsa, actually, and I grabbed this song because it's Todo Tiene Su Final. So we have our last show today.
And you know,
Thursday.
This is very appropriate because this is the song that we sent Luis out with when he did his last when he did his last hosting here.
And his great return, we can celebrate.
That's right.
With the same little song. And then
perfecto.
We'll be right back with you here. Wonderful. On Sverio, the local voice of your hemisphere.
Oh, and coming up after this, we hope to also have Eugene Gottfried online talking a little bit about Caribbean politics with an eye more towards the English-speaking part of the Caribbean. That's after this.
On Sverio.
Todo tiene su final. Nada dura para siempre. Tenemos que recordar que no existe eternidad. Como el lindo clavel. Tiene su final. Nada dura para siempre. Tenemos que recordar campeón mundial.
Was Todo Tiene Su Final, some salsa music from Puerto Rico, as we closed out our interview with Luis Meléndez, speaking about his new radio initiative in Vieques, Puerto Rico. And now we're going to be moving on to the second half of our show. This is Ferio, the local voice of our hemisphere. We'd like to remind you that the views and opinions presented on this program do not necessarily reflect those of the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, WMBR, or MIT. And now, Amy, I believe we have another wonderful guest on the line.
We do indeed. And it's a pleasure to welcome you to Sferio, Eugene Gottfried. This is the inventor and founder, if I'm not mistaken, of Reggie Radio, amongst other things. Caribbean expert and good friend of WMBR's. And it's a pleasure to connect up with you. How is it going out there?
Fine, thank you. I'm so happy to be with you, Amy and Gundra, and with your audience.
Thank
Always
you.
Always persistent.
So we were talking briefly before the show began about kind of checking in with, first of all, Reggie Radio and the project that you run. Maybe we could start with that, and then we can talk a little bit about what the buzz is out there about sort of the big things people talking about in politics, in the Caribbean especially. But first, because I know some of our listeners won't be familiar with what you do, I know you have streaming audio, I believe. You have video that you do now. What can you sort of run through all the aspects of your communications network, as it were?
So, well, what we have is, to begin with, Regi Radio, as you mentioned it. It is the radio station on the web, on the Internet, and everybody could get to it by consulting www.regi, that's R-E-G-I, or R-A-D-I-O.org.
Uh-huh.
And they'll get to our 24-hour broadcast on radio. And that is a broad encounter with the Caribbean and with the world itself. We got collaborations also that we receive from international radio stations like the OAS, Caribbean Department's radio programs. And we got Radio Havana Cuba sending us their programs also in English and Spanish.
Excellent.
And as well as Radio Prensa Latina, that's the news agency of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Nacional Venezolana, the national radio station of Venezuela. And United Nations radio stations, both in English, French, and Spanish.
Excellent.
So we have a broad variety of shows in with an informative character, a cultural nature, because we believe very much that we have to work towards defending and cultivating our cultural identity, which is terribly in crisis nowadays, with all that is going on in the world, with globalization and so on and so forth. And we do programs. Our shows are in basically 4 to 5 languages. That is English, Spanish, French, Creole, and Papiamento from Curacao, where I was originally born.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we run the whole show, the whole day, on www.regiradio.org. But once you go to that site, you can also select a series of videos that we make. Indeed, as you mentioned, we've got about 28 videos up now on the list, YouTube and so on, mm-hmm. and Google, dealing with several subjects of interest. For example, African Liberation Day, the Caribbean Zone of Peace, being it the Dutch colonization in the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
or Dutch colonial presence in the Caribbean, and so on and so forth. And recently, most recently, very fresh, we finished doing two shows, one in English, one in Spanish, in which we converse directly with the President of the Republic of Cuba, Dr. Fidel Castro Ruz, calling him for a reflection and action on the occurrences of 1912, which was a terrible racist massacre that took place in Cuba, and that should not be silenced, and those who were responsible for that should posthumously be condemned, absolutely. And we ask him to do for that in an open address. So we invite you, Amy and Kendra, and the entire my listenership of your show to consult www.regiradio and go to the videos, they'll find them.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about how you choose the topics that you decide you're going to film? How you choose the subject matter? Like, how did it occur to you to do this interview?
Do I choose the subject matter?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to begin with, my experience with the area is of a long-standing one, almost, if you come and put everything together, it's about 40 years. So I've been seeing many situations on many occasions and many moments happening. And there are several of these subjects that we chose that are of the interest of many people to know more about, and people should know more about them because they are not being dealt with in the so-called mainstream media.
Right. Unfortunately, there's so many things. There's so many things that aren't being dealt with in the mainstream media.
That's right. Yeah. So I say persistently so-called because mainstream are we. We are in the mainstream for providing what has to be provided. We won't invent shows, you know, and just to keep people busy and divert their attention off day-to-day problems, as I'm seeing that is happening by the big transnational media.
Mm-hmm.
And we persist in having a dialogue going on among all peoples of the world on matters that we have selected that we believe have been neglected for a long while and ought to have been discussed much earlier than now. And we can see that by the reactions that I'm getting from the shows, each one of them, that there is indeed a great need among the listeners and the viewers to talk about these issues. And that is why we had to even go further ahead and start on the internet also a television channel.
Mm-hmm.
And on the same website, www.regiradio.org, you can also select www.selfcast.com. Selfcast.com. And once you click that one, you go to directly to our channel. You see Reggie Radio TV Live. Uh-huh. And on that one now, the same policy is being followed. We have shows in different languages. And with these topics, as we mentioned above, and with music, both on the radio as well, plenty of music, mm-hmm. especially music that ought to be music, that ought to be played all the while, that should never be forgotten.
Well, like, can you give us an example?
Lyrics with the message.
Oh, now he's talking to my heart here, Kendra.
That is.
Can you give us some examples of the music that you like to put out there?
Excuse me?
Can you give us some examples? What sort of music?
Well, we play, for example, is it Caribbean music? We play the different genres that the Caribbean is so rich of.
Mm-hmm.
And with it goes the explanation of the country and the history of the genres. Like, for example, the zouk from Martinique and Guadeloupe.
Uh-huh.
The merengue from the Dominican Republic. The compa direct mm-hmm. from Haiti.
From Haiti.
The Sun Rhythm Complex of Cuba, which mm-hmm. is a broad one. Some people would want to call it salsa, but we refuse to call it salsa.
Because you know the roots.
Yes, absolutely. And the name of the Cuban music is Sun. Salsa in Spanish means sauce.
That's right.
And the data I use only when I eat a specific kind of food, and it has to be spicy. You understand?
That's right, that's right.
So those mistakes, cultural and political mistakes, ought to be wiped out, absolutely. And we try to put that into practice in our shows. And then furthermore, we expose the calypso from the Trinidad and Tobago,
mm-hmm.
the tumba from Curacao, and from the United States, of course. We will never forget that we have the jazz, the blues, the rhythm and blues, the soul ballads, and so on here. People like Sam Cooke and Otis Redding are unforgettable with us because we love them so much in the Caribbean.
That is a
picture I'm giving you and a taste of the kind of music that you can listen to with us.
Excellent. So you really managed to maintain a broad spectrum of interest, it sounds like. And I don't know, I think that's hugely important, especially when we look at how the so-called mainstream media just keeps telescoping in and determining, you know, in the English speaking media anyway here in the U.S., that such and such categories are not newsworthy, so we're just not going to talk about them at all. I was just reading a Brazilian newspaper the other day, and I was amazed at the table of contents. And this is just an ordinary, you know, daily paper. It had 30 different categories of news. they had local news, they had national news, they had, you know, a strictly American, South American news first, and then sort of worldwide. And then they went into subject headings. They had science, education, health. Those were all separate, you know, and it just went on and on. And I thought, there's so much of that that we don't even get, even if we, you know, subscribe to like a Sunday newspaper anymore. It just is not part of what is considered to be, you know, saleable, I guess is the term they use now.
Yes.
So.
There's a whole industry behind them.
Yeah.
That determine what has to go, what has not to go. You understand?
Right.
And what people should know, what people should not know. And if you see their newscasts, Amy, you will agree with me, that their newscast, for example, is based on supplying information or supplying images and sounds without information, rather, I should say.
That's probably more accurate.
Am I right? You will watch the news on one of those ones. I don't want to mention the name now because not even indirectly would I want to promote them. You will see that one man and a woman are giving news or talking about the subject. They don't even know where to start, where to end. They try to make it spectacular while they are interviewing some 2-3 more that appear also on the screen. So there'll be 5 people on the screen. And down on the same screen, you see another text rolling there with a completely different information.
That's right.
On news, right? So at the end of the day, and everybody shouting crisscross among each other. Nobody's listening to each other, and you see? And nobody is allowing the other to finish talking because no one is talking, really.
Mm-hmm.
They showed one another, and in between they may laugh.
That's
and,
right.
And they don't allow the others to finish talking. And then, as I said, a text rolling down here with a completely different information. So at the end of the day, my question will be, what did they say?
Because we
what
can't
did they
remember.
Want us to learn?
Mm-hmm.
Because information is education.
Mm-hmm.
Is you know is in a way of is a component of education. We give you information for you to form yourself and to educate yourself. So if we throw so many sounds and this things you know text among each other to you, what do we want you to learn? So and we know on Reggie Radio and Reggie Radio TV are persistently avoiding that. If we invite you for a dialogue, it is a dialogue we invite you to listen to you, to hear from your experience. We will let you talk. And at the end, when we are winding up, we give our opinion because this is our shows are shows of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to have more and more right now is opinion. Like, you are a radio station of the university, belonging to the university. That is how we see the university. The university shall have that particular function of forming people to have opinion so based on ideas that will lead their actions for a change for a better society.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yes, most definitely.
So that's what we try to fulfill and do in practice on our radio and television.
Wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about what types of things you guys are talking about on Reggie Radio, on Reggie Radio TV. Let's look a little bit at the category of politics.
Politics, for example, we analyze very critically the situation in the world between the giants, between David and Goliath.
That's exactly what our previous caller that we were interviewing was
also radio,
talking about.
Radio
yes,
organizer.
Previous radio organizer.
Talk about the same thing?
Yes, and saying how, you know, so much of what the small community radios do is to be that David, you know, up against the Goliath. He was talking about the people of Vieques and the movement you know, to defend Vieques from the U.S. Navy.
Well, you see that we were not mistaken, and there is only one reality.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot hide our faces for it like an ostrich. The world, unfortunately, now is being geared by a unipolar power politics. You see,
mm-hmm.
that is nothing good for anybody, not even for its own self. Because what do we see? Take the Caribbean, take Africa, take the Pacific, I mean, countries, the Asian countries, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
We have come from we've gone through all more than five centuries of serious, serious, serious problems because of European colonialism and the highest stage of to help them build capitalism. We have built capitalism for Europe with slave trade and enslavement, what have you, and the robbing and plundering of our resources and so on and so forth that you know of.
Mm-hmm.
To build Europe as it is today, and an extension of Europe is the United States and Canada, and I would also want to include Australia and New Zealand, where the same portrait has been designed.
Uh-huh.
But the major essence comes to Europe now, let us put it that way. And then now I see that the United States want to play a major role, even to be more stronger than their grandfathers of Europe. So that those five centuries have meant for us complete underdevelopment to develop those other industrial world. And they want to impose time and again their values and norms on our people, even through culture,
right.
Which is radio, television, and all, you know, with all these channels that they have, they're booming 24 hours a day, try to shape the peoples of the world to be acting according to their interests.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with the interests of their own countries and weakening them so much. And then we have to put all of these matters into discussion. The case of Africa, for example, we don't want to talk in a fanatic way about it, but in a very realistic way. What has happened to Africa, what Africa means today. Africa is in a very difficult position because of these type of policies.
That's right.
Which were systematically created and developed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You may imagine that in 1855, unnecessarily, the entire continent was cut up into nations which should have never existed, because look at them there. It's the only problems they have up till today.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Not,
exactly.
not one that ain't got a problem. And to effectively plunder their oil, their cocoa, their what have you, their what have you, their what have you, in riches. And then a class of agents have been prepared systematically, both in Africa, in the Caribbean, in the Pacific, to take over after a possible independence, which is of a political, formal nature, because economic independence, not one has gotten it till now, that they could carry on the work that the masters used to do for them before.
Right,
that's
so that
where they are.
The names changed, the players changed slightly, but the structure remains intact, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene,
yes.
I'm curious.
And if they don't follow what the master, even in his absence, say, then they go and throw bombs on them.
Mm-hmm. Eugene,
and kill them.
I'm curious as to your perspective on how much sort of, I guess, power or respect the sort of community movements and groups that are trying to organize an alternative to this, what we're seeing evolving due to capitalism and due to the power that the European and American interests and corporate interests have in this world. What is specifically in the Caribbean? Are there any sort of specific states or countries that have been able to opt for a different solution, or is it the governments within these countries as well are part of that same system?
Well, oh yes, definitely, most definitely. The Caribbean is a very dynamic area. It is not only now, but it's always that we have tried to find a solution to these very deep problems that were created by European colonialism in the area. I go a little further behind in history with you, reminding each and everyone that the first revolution to abolish slavery and to form an independent nation and to create a rupture with colonialism was Haiti. And Haiti has to pay for that till today.
Right, right.
You understand? Because none of the colonial powers, including the United States, agreed with that. And up to today, they're trying to strangle Haiti because of their bold step not to follow those lines that were imposed on them. So we started by that already, giving one of the major examples. There were more before that, of course. And then after coming into the 20th century a little further, what shall we say if we have had in 1956-53 in Guyana, Dr. Chatty Jagan, who took over power there, after the elections, to be the first Marxist-Leninist prime minister of socialist orientation whatsoever in this continent to direct a country. He was intercepted and intervened by the British intelligence and the CIA and put out of power. But yet, in 56, he won again. They did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then the third time he won, and he died, unfortunately, as president of the Republic of Guyana. Those are examples. What if we don't mention 1956, Guatemala with Jacobo Arbenz,
yes,
who tried to perform, reforms in agriculture to finish the reign, the domain of the United Fruit Company and all of those plunderers of their agricultural resources in Guatemala. They toppled him. Sabotaged him and toppled him.
CIA was well involved in that one.
Right, you remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What can we say if we don't mention and think of the triumph of the revolution on the 1st of January of 1959 in the Republic of Cuba, which was a popular democratic revolution, among whom was Fidel Castro. You see?
Yeah.
And then thereafter, they started a process of building socialism. I should believe that they want to have an alternative, absolute alternative for the future for their society. And why should they not have the right to do so?
Absolutely.
Who is to impose on them what to do, what not to do?
Exactly. If they,
you see what
you
I'm
know,
saying?
Have autonomy.
Hmm?
If they have autonomy, in fact, they should be able to decide.
And if they don't have autonomy, it's about time for them to get their autonomy.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? Or is it that we have to have a persistent domination of Euro-Anglo-Saxon Americans in the world? They won't even respect a Euro-Iberian Spanish leader like Fidel Castro. They will go with all teeth and blood and tears against him and then calling for his death. What kind of a thing is this?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of a situation is this? A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed the distinguished Professor Dr. Noam Chomsky of your Boston there.
Uh-huh.
I think he belongs to your university.
Here at MIT, in fact, yes.
Right. If you see him, say hello to him for me very much.
I will.
You see, and that so many people are calling me wanting to hear more from him.
Mm-hmm.
He is truly
Noam Chomsky. He stated that they are savage. And I have adopted that terminology from him, and then we have seen from that day, because it's true, because they are, for the way that they are preparing thugs and bandits to go and topple governments of the indigenous leaders like Morales and others in Bolivia.
Bolivia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. And the kind of things that they are preparing in propaganda against Manchu.
And Chavez.
Of a racist nature because he's indigenous.
Right.
Making mockery of Rigoberta Manchu. a woman of stature and of heart. What if we don't say that we as a whole do not recognize that for the first time whatsoever, a man who is not a descendant of Euro-Iberian Spanish elite, which is the minority in Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
Hugo Rafael Chavez Frias, has become president of Venezuela and got total popular support. What shall we say about that? And why should we not take into account the process in Nicaragua?
Right.
My beloved Nicaragua, with Humberto Ortega and all of them. And once upon a time, we had a situation in Grenada that was unfortunately and unnecessarily vanished and invaded, and all of those sour experiences. And we have the case of Jamaica itself that is persisting right through wind and weather and hot, bad weather and winds and so on to go forward and to give an answer to all of these disastrous decisions that the World Trade Organization has taken
mm-hmm.
against banana-producing countries of the Caribbean in this respect, to remove the preferential prices that they used to get on the European Union market. And that will drive all of these countries into misery because they have to go and diverse the economy and diverse it how? Towards what? If the sugar cane already has been violated absolutely and destroyed, which was the monoculture for years and years and years, then the cocoa, you know, all these substitutes that they pay the universities here to create subsidies in the United States for the cocoa, for the coffee, for vanilla, for all our spices and products. Look Mexico there. Mexico was a vanilla-producing country. Look at the bushes, them there, dead. Because they can never compete with the surrogates made in the United States and industrialized world.
Right, with the big...
You see? And now the corn has become so important. The corn to substitute the sugar cane,
mm-hmm.
and the corn now to go and substitute oil. You see what I'm saying? Forgetting that human beings have to eat.
Yeah.
So that is the situation in the Caribbean that we call the attention upon, and we talk openly and freely about this, and all the processes that ought to be done. And areas like the Dutch colonized areas, like the Netherlands, Antilles, Curaçao, Rua, Bonaire, St. Martin, St. Eustatius,
mm-hmm.
we pay special attention to those because they are hidden in the news.
That's right.
Right? Nobody knows about them, but there's a whole heap of nonsense going on down there of a colonialist and an imperialist nature of destruction of those people's economy and life security and all that. Lot of migration to Holland, and then taking over and recolonization of the area by the Dutch, and the same applies for the French territories like Guadeloupe in the Eastern Caribbean, Martinique. And Cayenne mm-hmm. on the South American continent. We talk about all these questions. We analyze the role of the European Union, the role of all the other powers, and we are absolutely against anything that smells war and military aggression in our area. We want the Caribbean to remain or to be a zone of peace and to shut down all those military bases that are there in the Caribbean, starting with the one in Guantanamo.
Yes. That
shut it
be the
down
first
as quickly as possible and give it back to the Cuban government. And we know in the Antilles, the Dutch then can take their stuff home. And also the unit of the United States, which is there pretending to be watching drugs trafficking, what have you, let them go watch the drugs trafficking at home. And just the same for all the other areas where they are. That is exactly our position, and we are, and it's an unbent position.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there, Amy?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm saying,
Yeah.
If what we need more of these voices out there saying these things, I think.
Well, yes. Yes, they are there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have the voice, we need to have opinion. And I know there's a whole heap of opinion everywhere, but people seem to be afraid or ashamed, I don't know what, of late, since the downfall of the Soviet Union. I hope Noam Chomsky is listening to me and all friends there. Since the downfall of the socialist countries of Europe, where we had this two-power politics, that were, as the Chinese used to call it, going on, these now, this unipolar power has adopted an attitude of victory, of championship. And now what we see, that systematically they're destroying after they finish seeing how the, not for their own reason, but for internal reasons of a different nature, the Soviet Union and all those countries disappeared. Mm-hmm. Never saying that, I will not say, because I have been in all those countries, that it was a problem of socialism. No. There were problems within socialism, which is of a different nature.
Right.
But of course, they were blockaded all the while by these Westerners. But now that they finish seeing that all those countries have crumbled down, if you have seen well, Amy and Gamma, and you listening, brothers and sisters of Spherio, that's how our show is called, right?
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
Of late, they have devoted time in destroying the social democratic parties of East Western Europe. Germany is gone. They have a conservative rule there, woman ruling there. Nowadays, the woman too can adopt conservative positions and be, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. They all want to follow Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
Of Britain. And before Margaret Thatcher could do anything, Blair said, let me have this Social Democratic Party, Labour Party of Britain, behave as if it is conservative. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they are defeated,
That's
I should
right.
say. In France, we've seen how Hollande and the others, and they didn't stand the woman a chance, they wanted to become president, and they have done everything to put right-wing Nicolas Sarkozy
yes.
as president. Mm-hmm. And now we want to wait and see what they will do with Spain just now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of them.
And
Italy, you know,
thing.
Is in complete mess.
Yeah.
That is it. And they are destroying systematically and then to gain power and to put themselves as a world dominant power more and more with the most backward ideas by retaking old-time liberal and even before that ideas and theories to put into practice.
But now,
that is,
mm-hmm. Eugene, do you think that, I know I'm looking at the clock, I know we're running out of time, so I just wanted to ask you, we have a little bit more time, but I did want to ask you, do you think that the tables are turning, that the tide is maybe shifting finally? I mean, it's been pretty miserable for some time, mm-hmm. but I don't know, sometimes when I'm trying to get motivated, I think that the elections of Morales and of Chavez and so on, you know, that maybe marks a beginning of a stand that people are saying, you know what, we don't want imperialists coming in deciding for us what happens in our own country. You know, we're in Vieques, we want Vieques to be for the Viequenses. We don't want the U.S. Navy to set up its base here any longer. Do you feel that I'm maybe being too idealistic here, or do you see this possibly as a trend?
At least you are exposing an idea. I don't know whether you are idealistic. You are exposing an idea which is based on reality. You see, it's absolutely real. The time is on the way that the response to all of these questions, despite the fact that they are preparing all sorts of thugs to come and beat us up, and beat our people up, and kill us, but never once again can they succeed, because the peoples of our continent and of the continents of the world are quite conscious of what is taking place. And are saying no, absolutely no. And are choosing for a solution. and for which means they will not become millionaire in dollars, that they will leave it for the backward system of imperialism, mm-hmm. and international capitalism. But they will be millionaire in dignity. Absolutely. They choose for dignity and poverty above any other thing. Mm-hmm. And more and more, that consciousness will be growing, absolutely. And then it is the task of universities like you, radio, journalists like you, and our listening brothers and sisters who are lovers of peace, equality, and social progress
yes.
for all, without distinction, to join hands with the Davids, not with the Goliaths, with the weak ones.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? And then for this process to continue marching on.
Yes.
Really, the response is because it is not again with Europe and the Europeans. I'm so sorry for them, but what we have learned from them in the past 2,000 years is killing ruthlessly.
Yeah.
And as Noam Chomsky said it,
savages.
Sure.
It's time to start learning from another.
And we would want to add to it that it is hopeless,
yes.
their way of doing things.
It's mm-hmm. time to have
so
a new
we
paradigm.
Are having the hope coming from the people that you mentioned there, and let us wish them a lot of wisdom and a lot of force and strength. And my salute to you, Amy, my salute to Kemmer, to our listening brothers and sisters, a special salute also to Julia Goldrosen of Africa Kabisa.
Most definitely.
And whoever sees Noam Chomsky, tell him I send my regards to him.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, Eugene.
You are welcome, and then you can call to me at any time of the day you want. For another video.
Wonderful. That was Eugene Gottfried of Reggie Radio. You can check out his broadcasting on the internet at www.reggieradio.org. We are Sferio, leaving you in time for the Free Speech Radio news.
Indeed. Although we have, I think, a minute to make an announcement, if you have one, about the Guantanamo. If not, I have one about El Salvador.
Yes, let me very briefly just say, we will be talking this up more, but keep your eyes open for the new Amnesty International campaign. It's going to be coming your way soon. It's the 86 Gitmo campaign. 86 days to get rid of Guantanamo and, as Eugene put it, return that back to Cuba.
Excellent. And the other announcement we have is that next Saturday, October 6th, there's going to be a demonstration in Maverick Square Plaza here in Boston about El Salvador, because there are some activists who are in prison right now in El Salvador for terrorism, quote unquote, who were actually peaceful protesters in a protest against water privatization. So join the crowd that's going to be gathering there if you are interested at the Maverick Square Plaza Saturday, October 6th at 1 p.m. Now we're going to do a brief promotion for another show here on WMBR and pass it off to the WMBR Nightly News.
It's the heritage of modern American music. It's not hee-haw. Country, bluegrass, Cajun, Tejano, Zydeco, and Hawaiian. That's what you'll hear on Lost Highway every Saturday morning between 8 and 10 a.m. here on the Great 88 WMBR in Cambridge.
And this is WMBR in Cambridge. It's 5:30, and time now for the WMBR Nightly News. 86 days to get rid of Gitmo. I like that campaign. Wish it wouldn't even take that long to get rid of it. Anyway, we're going now to Free Speech Radio News. This program was downloaded from the web, and is a weeknightly feature of WMBR in Cambridge.
This is Free Speech Radio News. It's Thursday, September 27th, 2007. From KPFA